السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. اللہ تعالیٰ کے ارشاد
تشہد تعوذا سورة الفاتحة. حضرت خلیفۃ المسیح the fifth, may Allah be his helper, stated, complying with the commands of Allah the Almighty and following the example of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, we also find many incidents in the life of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, of caring for the poor and of his generosity and munificence. These are found not only after his claim, rather, even during the early years of his life and in his youth, we find incidents of his excellent moral qualities. Furthermore, even when we look at the life of the mother under whose care Allah the Almighty nurtured him, we find incidents of caring for the poor and of her generosity and munificence. In other words, he was raised by a mother who also taught him excellent morals. As such, whereas Allah the Almighty himself instilled virtue in the nature of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he was also provided with a pious environment by his mother. As such, mentioning the generosity and munificence of the mother of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, Hazrat Shaykh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani, may Allah be pleased with him, writes, Hazrat Mai Chirag Bibi Sahiba, that is the revered mother of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, belonged to a distinguished and noble Mughal family from the village of Aima in the district of Hoshiarpur. Generosity, munificence and hospitality were deeply ingrained in her nature. She possessed all the lofty moral qualities that a woman of modesty and virtue should possess. She always remained cheerful and steadfast. She was extremely passionate about being hospitable and was extremely kind-hearted. Some of those who have witnessed her excellent moral qualities and hospitality are still alive. Hazrat Maulvi Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani is writing that some of them are still alive. He further writes that if she were informed that guests were arriving and that four people required food, she would send out food for more than eight individuals so that if more people had come and joined them, they could eat as well. She would be extremely delighted at the arrival of guests. He further writes that she showed particular care for the poor and the weak in her town. One of her regular practices was to provide shrouds for the impoverished who had passed away. Whenever a poor person passed away, she would arrange for their shroud and burial. In short, due to her compassion and assistance towards the poor, she became a caring mother for everyone. These qualities and virtues of the revered mother had a profound influence on the upbringing of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Since he was to become the head of a great spiritual family, Allah the Almighty made provision from the very outset for the development of these lofty qualities through her. That is, he was nourished under the care of such a loving and caring mother, who was the exemplary embodiment of compassion for mankind, hospitality, and generosity. Thus, it may be said that he was nourished with these qualities along with the milk of his mother. Qualities of self-sufficiency, courage, bravery, and candidness were inherited from his respected father, while qualities of hospitality, generosity, and compassion for mankind were inherited by him through his revered mother. With regards to incidents relating to the generosity of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in his youth, Hazrat Mia Allah Yar Sahib relates that when the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was employed in Sialkot, his mother once sent him two sets of clothes along with some pinniya, that is traditional homemade sweets, through an individual named Mangal Hajam. She sent it with Mangal Hajam. Hazrat Mia Allah Yar Sahib relates that on his journey back, Mangal passed through our village and said to us, "When I delivered these items to Sialkot and presented them before the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he said to me, 'Take whatever share belongs to you and give me only my share.' I replied, 'Huzoor, these are for you. Your mother, Amma Jan, has sent these for you.' He said, 'You have carried all these things such a long distance. As such, you must take half of it as your share.' Accordingly, he gave me one set of clothes and some of the homemade sweets and said, 'Convey this message to my mother that she should call me back home soon. My heart does not find peace here. People spend their lives engaged in wrongful practices and my heart becomes distressed when I see them.'" Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates, on the authority of Hazrat Sayyid Zainul Abidin Waliullah Shah Sahib, that when I was in Sialkot, I had the opportunity to meet Mai Haya Bibi Sahiba, daughter of Fazaldeen Sahib, who was the respected mother of Hazrat Hafiz Muhammad Shafi Sahib Qari. Mai Sahiba explained that in earlier days, Mirza Sahib used to live in an upper room in the same neighborhood adjoining our present house in Mohalla Jhandawala. When that house collapsed, Mirza Sahib moved to my father's house in Mohalla Kashmiri. She said that when he came to live in our house, I observed that he did not mix much with people in the household. She also mentioned that whatever salary Mirza Sahib received, he would distribute it among the widows and needy people of the neighborhood. He would have clothes made for them or give them money directly, keeping only enough for his own food expenses. Hazrat Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani, may Allah be pleased with him, writes that when we look at the life of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, regarding generosity and giving, and reflect upon the incidents and circumstances we personally witnessed, it becomes clear that he had been granted an abundant share of this noble virtue. This manner of conduct was present in his life from the time he gained awareness, that is, from his very childhood and youth. It is not that after being appointed by Allah, such noble qualities appeared in him through effort or affectation. Rather, they were an inherent part of his nature. At times, such qualities remained completely hidden, while at other times they manifested naturally in a way that others became aware of them. His general inclination, however, was that his good deeds should remain concealed. He desired for his good works to remain hidden. In the early period of his life, incidents of his generosity were usually hidden because he lived a secluded life and quietly showed kindness to certain individuals according to their circumstances. But when Allah brought him before the public, appointed him, and people began coming to him in large numbers, his circumstances became public, and there emerged witnesses and narrators of these incidents. He writes that he never turned away anyone who asked him for help. His life was a practical embodiment of the Quranic command, "Ammasaila fala tanhar," and as for the one who asked, do not rebuke him. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Karim Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that one day, after the Asr prayer, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, stood up as usual and placed his foot at the window of the mosque to go inside. Just then, a beggar quietly said, "I am a needy person." At that moment, Hazrat Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, had an important matter to attend to, and the man's voice had blended into the voices of others who had risen after prayer and were talking amongst themselves as people often did after the prayer. In short, Hazrat Sahib went inside. That is, he went in unaware of this and without paying attention. Even if the faint sound had reached his ears, his mind was occupied with the other matter. So he did not take notice, went in, and didn't turn around. However, once he had gone downstairs, that same soft voice he had heard began to leave a deep impression on his heart. After going inside, he suddenly realized that he had heard someone say, "I am a needy person." It affected him greatly. He quickly returned and called out to Khalifa Nuruddin Sahib, saying, "There was a needy person here, go and look for him." "There was a needy person, where has he gone?" But after Hazrat Sahib had gone inside, the man had already left. Khalifa Nuruddin Sahib searched extensively but could not find him. Khalifa Nuruddin Sahib was a person from Kashmir. In any case, he says that evening, after the prayer as was customary, the same needy man returned and asked again. Hazrat Sahib immediately reached into his pocket, took something out and placed it into his hand. It appeared as though Hazrat Sahib became relieved and happy, as if a burden had been lifted from him. A few days later, he mentioned that on that day, when the needy man could not be found, his heart had felt such a burden that it caused him great restlessness. He feared that he had committed a failing by not paying attention to the needy person and by going inside too quickly. He said, "I thank Allah that he returned in the evening. Otherwise, Allah knows in what state of anxiety I would have remained. I had also prayed that Allah the Almighty bring him back." Similarly, Hazrat Shaykh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani, may Allah be pleased with him, writes in his biography that near Qadian, there was a small village called Sirtihali, around 6 miles away. A Jat Fakir used to come from there, and many people were still alive who had seen him. He would sit beneath the roof of Masjid Mubarak, near the window, in the western wall of Baitul Fikr, and call out, "Ghulam Ahmed, I want 1 rupee. Then he would sit there. Sometimes the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would be occupied with some work and deeply focused, so he would not hear him. The man would then keep calling out at intervals. Many people disliked this and thought, why is he sitting here troubling the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him? If someone objected to him, he would reply, "Did I come to ask from you? I am asking Ghulam Ahmed, peace be upon him." If the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, came to know that someone had spoken harshly to him, he would dislike that. Smiling, he would give the man 1 rupee. It was also his practice not to keep a needy person waiting for long. Hazrat Chaudhry Abdullah Khan Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that once, while returning from a walk and entering the house, a dervish clothed only in a loincloth — some fakirs wore such clothing as part of their spiritual discipline and way of life — called out, O giver, give me something." Upon hearing this, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, replied, "Allah is the giver." And with that, he went inside. He said, "O giver, but only Allah is the giver." The man called out again, "Yes, Allah is indeed the giver, but please give me something. At this, the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, sent something for him. In any case, perhaps that man himself was not going to learn much from that exchange. But through this response, the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, taught his followers a lesson that there should not be even the slightest trace of associating partners with Allah in the way we speak. Hazrat Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani, may Allah be pleased with him, writes that on one occasion, a beggar came to Qadian. He would make a round through the town every morning, reciting a poem by Hazrat Mir Hamid Shah Sahib, whilst walking through the streets. Making a round means that he would walk around the village and its streets reciting the couplet, God is your helper, O inhabitant of Qadian. You have granted us peace, O inhabitant of the citadel of peace. He would recite this, and with it he would also recite the verse, I let my fancy fly in all directions. He would recite this poem of the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him. He would walk around Qadian reciting this. Whenever he recited this second poem of the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, the honored one of our community, Hazrat Mulana Abdul Karim Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, was extremely displeased. He used to say, this man is not worthy of this poem, because this poem expresses a reality and a condition, it is profoundly deep, which existed only in the person of the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him. The truth explained in this poem cannot be found in an ordinary person. Whatever has been described in this poem, he would say that he could not bear to hear these verses from the mouth of anyone else due to his pride for the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, let alone an ordinary beggar wandering about reciting them. The fact that such a common beggar would recite these poems would make Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib extremely upset. Nonetheless, Shaykh Yaqub Ali Irfani Sahib says that this reflected the intensity of this honored one's love and devotion for the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him. In any case, this beggar made a round within Qadian. It was the month of Ramadan, and during this period, the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, gave him a lot of charity on numerous occasions. Yet the beggar would continue saying, fill my bowl. Thus, on the day of Eid, he came carrying a very large bowl. He spread a sheet near the entrance of the mosque and sat there. When the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, arrived, the beggar asked, fill my bowl. The Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, placed 1 rupee into it. As soon as that rupee was placed inside, it was as though a shower of rupees began to fall, and his bowl was filled with various coins. When the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, heard his request, he smiled gently and placed the rupee into the bowl. Following his example, those who believed in him also contributed whatever coins they could. And in this manner, the beggar's bowl was completely filled. Hazrat Shaykh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani, may Allah be pleased with him, writes that when the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, travelled to Delhi for the final time in 1905, one day he intended to visit some of the shrines there. Someone remarked that, Huzur, along this particular route, there are so many beggars that it is difficult to even pass through. The Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, replied, today we shall go. We will give to everyone. We will give charity to all those who are begging. This was no ordinary promise and determination. He was actually prepared to give to everyone who asked. In reality, the number of beggars proved to be somewhat fewer than had been described. But whoever was encouraged received an answer to his request in practical form. He helped every single person he met. Hazrat Hafiz Ahmadullah Sahib Nagpuri relates that one day the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, was seated in the round room, where approximately 20 to 25 people were present. He was delivering an address when a beggar arrived and loudly asked for charity. He says, I was very displeased because he was interrupting the voice of the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him. Huzur is speaking and he is interjecting. So I got up and closed the door. The Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, saw this. He stopped delivering his address and said to me, go, knock on the inside door and have something brought for this beggar. In other words, he asked, why did you close the door? Go inside, ask the household, bring something from there and give it to this beggar. He brought something from the house and gave it to him, that is the beggar. The Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, remarked, it was not good to close the door upon someone asking for help. This is very wrong, that the beggar asks from you and you close the door. Hazrat Babu Ghulam Muhammad Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that a minstrel who played the sarangi, that is the Indian fiddle, came to the residence of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a beggar. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him 4 anna coins. Just then, Mir Nasir Nawab Sahib arrived from upstairs. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had already gone inside. Seeing the man with the sarangi, Mir Sahib scolded him severely because he played a musical instrument and said to him, "Do not ever come here again." The following day, the same man returned. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, came outside to give him something, but saw that the beggar had disappeared. He had apparently caught sight of Mir Sahib and remembered the scolding from the previous day, so he had run away. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, instructed someone, "Go and look for that sarangi playing beggar." "Where is he?" Someone replied, "Huzur, he has run away." The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, said, "Then you also run after him and call him back." Nonetheless, he returned. Seeing Mir Sahib, he became frightened. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, then said to Mir Sahib, "Mir Sahib, what else can this poor man do? He does not know any other skill or occupation. He doesn't know anything else. What can he do? He plays the sarangi. If you can teach him another skill or teach him a profession, then he will no longer play the sarangi. Arrange a job for him." Later in private, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, said to the minstrel, "As long as you remain here, do not play the sarangi. Mir Sahib may strike you. He gets angry, he might hit you or may end up giving you a slap or two. Nonetheless, do not play your instrument here. Instead, quietly shake the chain, i.e. the door latch, and I will give you something." Thus, for as long as he remained in Qadian, he received 4 annas every day from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Sayyid Fazl Shah Sahib relates, a faqir, that is a mendicant, had the habit of going to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, and asking for money. At times, he would say, "Give me 1 anna." At other times, "Give me 2 annas." And sometimes, "Give me 8 annas." In short, he would always ask for a specific amount. If the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, happened to be occupied with some work or conversation, the man would continue to repeat his request until he received what he had asked for. He would continue to persist in his request. Over time, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, became well acquainted with his habit. Whenever the man came and requested a certain amount, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, would immediately give him something and would say, "He simply will not leave without receiving this amount. Give him exactly what he is asking for." Hazrat Sheikh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani, may Allah be pleased with him, writes, "I came into the permanent service of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, in 1898, although I had been visiting Qadian since 1892. During this period, I witnessed many people come to ask for financial assistance. I never once saw the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, give a petitioner a copper coin, that is a pesa. He would always give a silver coin to anyone who asked for something. According to the currency in use at that time, copper coins comprise 1 pesa, 2 pesas, and up to half an anna, whereas silver coins included 1 anna, 2 annas, and larger denominations, such as the 4 anna coin. Although even 1 or 2 pesas possessed purchasing value in those days, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, would ordinarily give 1 or 2 annas, or even more in charity, amounts that were considered substantial. Indeed, it was not uncommon for him to give even an ordinary petitioner 1 whole rupee. On one occasion, a non-Ahmadi fakir came before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, and submitted that he wished to construct a well in a forest so that travelers might benefit from it and have water to drink. It is related that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, gave him 200 rupees for this purpose, saying, "Since you intend to undertake this work for the service of mankind, go ahead and have the well constructed. I shall provide you with the funds." Thus, while the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, exhorted the members of the Jamaat to serve humanity, he himself set the finest practical example of that teaching. Hazrat Abdus Sami Sahib, a companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, relates, "It was the occasion of Mia Sharif Ahmed Sahib's Aqiqah, and all the guests were eating in the guest house. He was his third son among those who remained alive. Later, other children were also born who passed away in infancy, but Hazrat Mirza Sharif Ahmed Sahib lived a long life. On this occasion of his Aqiqah, the guests were gathered and eating their meal. The Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him, was also present among them. During the meal, a fakir entered the guest house seeking food. Some of those present attempted to drive him away. However, the Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him, personally served food to the fakir and instructed the others not to rebuke or turn him away. He said, "If he has come to eat, do not scold him." He himself placed food on the plate and gave it to the fakir. Hazrat Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib Kapoor Talvi relates, "Once a Maulvi came to Qadian and began to engage in a debate with the Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him. The Prophet Sahib began replying to him and the Maulvi fell silent. The discussion was on the topic of whether Jesus was alive or had passed away. This incident is from the early period of the claim of the Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him. Whilst the Prophet Sahib was explaining to him the matter, he remained silent. Thereafter, the Prophet Sahib inquired, 'Have you fully understood the arguments I have presented?' To which he replied, 'Yes, I have understood them.' But then spoke in an extremely discourteous manner and said, 'I have understood that you are the Dajjal, the Antichrist, God forbid, because among the characteristics of the Dajjal is that he will silence others in his arguments. That is, he will render them speechless.' The Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him, again did not say anything and the Maulvi left. Upon reaching Amritsar, the Maulvi published a public announcement and citing this incident stated, 'Despite using such words, when he, that is the Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him, went inside, I sent in a small note stating that I was in need. Here he is admitting his lack of self-honor and at the same time the kind of treatment afforded to him by the Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him. I sent in a small note stating that I was in need and desired to be given something. Though I had used foul words against him, nonetheless, I was in need and requested to be treated with kindness.' He further wrote that the Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him, immediately sent him 15 rupees. He said that the Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him, was extremely generous. And even if a harsh word was said to him, he did not harbor any grievances against anyone. The Prophet Sallallahu did not mention to anyone that he had given him 15 rupees, and it was only through this public announcement that people learnt that he had given him 15 rupees despite the harsh words he spoke. As Qazi Abdul Ghafoor Sahib relates, "In 1906, I travelled from Rawalpindi to Qadian with my elder brother, Hazrat Hafiz Murad Bakhsh Sahib. As the Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him, was descending the steps of Masjid Mubarak, a gentleman, most probably Hazrat Hakim Shah Nawaz Sahib of Rawalpindi, presented him with a monetary offering of £17 contained in a small pouch. The Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him, accepted the pouch and placed it in his pocket. At the foot of the steps stood a petitioner who asked for charity. The Prophet Sallallahu immediately took the same pouch out of his pocket and placed it in the petitioner's hands. When Hazrat Hakim Sahib witnessed this, he respectfully submitted, 'Hazur, that pouch contains £17. The Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him, replied, "They belong to him and they have now reached their rightful owner." Having said this, Hazur remained silent. At that time, £17 represented a very substantial sum. £1 was approximately equivalent to 15 Indian rupees, making the total value around 255 rupees in those days when a meal could be purchased for only 5 paisas. Hazrat Sheikh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani, may Allah be pleased with him, writes that giving charity and alms was deeply ingrained in the habits of the Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him, and generally it was his practice to set aside 1/10 of his income for charity. Regarding this, a narration from Hazrat Ummul Mu'mineen, may Allah be pleased with her, has been recorded by Hazrat Sahib Zadeh Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him. He writes, "My respected mother related to me that the Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him, used to give a great deal in charity, and he would usually do so in such a hidden manner that even we did not know about it. I asked her, 'How much charity did he usually give?' My mother replied, 'He gave a great deal. In his later years, whatever money came in, he would set aside 1/10 of it specifically for charity and continue giving from that portion.' My mother further explained that this did not mean he never gave more than 1/10. Rather, he used to say, 'Sometimes expenses increase. Guests come, there are expenses for the langar and many other costs. So a person may become negligent regarding charity. But if the money for charity is separated beforehand, then negligence does not occur because that money cannot be diverted elsewhere. My mother said that this was why he would separate 1/10 of all income in advance. Otherwise, in actual giving, he often gave even more than that. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, further writes that he asked, did he consider whether someone was Ahmadi or non-Ahmadi when giving charity? His mother replied, no. He never considered who was Ahmadi and who was not. If someone was in need, then he would give to them. Hazrat Sheikh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani, may Allah be pleased with him, writes that just as it was his habit never to turn away a person who asked, and just as he would often help those in need even without them asking, it was also part of his noble character that he understood even the subtlest forms of asking. In such situations too, he would respond with generosity. Sahibzada Sirajul Haq Sahib relates that once someone sent a beautiful cap to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. When the parcel arrived, coincidentally, a Hindu man was also present. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, opened the parcel and the cap was there. The Hindu man greatly admired the cap. As soon as the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, heard him praising it, he immediately gave the cap to him. Hazrat Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib of Kapur Thala relates that there was an Ahmadi named Haji Hussein who returned from Hajj and brought with him a tasbih made of genuine pearls. He presented it as a gift to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. It was a tasbih of real pearls. The narrator says, at that time, I and a friend from Sialkot were present in the company of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Haji Hussein Sahib presented the tasbih before Huzur. Huzur said, Jazakallah. The tasbih was very beautiful. I thought to myself that after Haji Hussein Sahib left, I would ask for the tasbih. My friend from Sialkot had the same intention. When Haji Hussein Sahib departed, the friend from Sialkot submitted, Huzur, this tasbih is very beautiful. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, replied, if you like it, then you may have it, and handed it to him. I then submitted, Huzur, I had also intended to ask for it. Huzur smiled and said, then the two of you should divide it equally between yourselves. Take one half each. Later, the friend from Sialkot said to me, let me keep the tasbih. It has 100 beads anyway. I replied, very well, you may keep it. And so he kept it. Hazrat Hakim Aladita Sahib relates that Sarfaraz Khan narrated, we came to attend the Jalsa and someone presented a mare to Huzur. I thought to myself, how wonderful it would be if that mare were given to me. I would take it home and tell people that I had brought back the Messiah's mare. It was a fine bred riding mare. When the Jalsa ended, I submitted, Huzur, I would like to return home. Huzur replied, wait. On the third day, I made the same request again. This time, Huzur said, Jodi Sahib, take this mare with you. I submitted, Huzur, what is its price? Huzur replied, feed it grass and grain and ride it. That is its price. In other words, there was no price. Take it and make use of it. Hazrat Malik Ghulam Hussein Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that when Maulvi Abdul Rahman Sahib, who was later martyred in Afghanistan, came to visit the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he brought many gifts with him, including a warm sheepskin coat. After being informed of his arrival, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, called him inside. He presented the gifts and the sheepskin coat. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, expressed great pleasure and said, Maulvi Sahib, you have gone to a great deal of trouble. Maulvi Abdul Rahman Sahib replied, Huzur, I have brought the sheepskin coat especially for you, and I would dearly like to see you wear it in my presence. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, immediately stood up and put it on. It was a long fleece or coat or whatever it was called, reaching down to the ankles. It was a long coat. Later that evening, during a meal, Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib submitted, Huzoor, Mulvi Abdul Rahman Sahib has brought a sheepskin coat which is extremely valuable, warm and of excellent quality. Khwaja Sahib had already seen it. The Promised Sahib, peace be upon him, responded, Khwaja Sahib, if you like it so much, then you should take it. Khwaja Sahib replied, Huzoor, that is a great kindness. The Promised Sahib, peace be upon him, then gave the sheepskin coat to Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib. Hazrat Shaykh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates that Hafiz Noor Ahmed Sahib, a Pashmina merchant from Ludhiana, a Pashmina is a type of woolen cloth, was among the Promised Sahib's old and devoted servants. He was a trader in woolen cloth and was among the sincere and devoted servants of the Promised Sahib, peace be upon him. He once suffered severe financial losses in his cloth business to the point that it was nearly ruined. As a result, he decided to move elsewhere and start a different business in order to rebuild his financial situation. Throughout the life of the Promised Sahib, peace be upon him, he remained in regular correspondence with him and served the Jamaat financially beyond his means and capacity. He would say, as far as the generosity, giving, and benevolence of the Promised Sahib, peace be upon him, are concerned, I can sum it up in one sentence. He simply did not know how to give a small amount. Relating a personal incident, he said, when my business collapsed and I decided to travel elsewhere to start again, I requested some money from the Promised Sahib, peace be upon him, as a loan so that I could establish a new business. Huzoor brought out a cash box in which he kept money and placed it before me, saying, take as much as you need. He was visibly pleased to do so. I took only what was necessary for my needs, though Huzoor continued to say, take all of it. The truth is that his attitude towards his friends was entirely different. In practice, he regarded his wealth as their wealth. In such matters, it would actually trouble him if a devoted follower showed any sense of reserve, that is, hesitation, not a sense of honor. As a Shaykh Yaqub Ali Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, says, Shaykh Muhammad Ismail Sahib Sarsawi has been my sincere friend and brother for 32 years and is one of the long-standing servants of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. From the very beginning, his temperament has been of a spiritual and saintly nature, and he has always been drawn to the company of the righteous. He has been a teacher at Madrasa Talimul Islam from its earliest days to the present. In the early period, he was also the one who would feed and look after the guests. He might rightly be called the Nazir Ziafat, the superintendent of hospitality. From the time he arrived in Qadian, the Promised Sahib, peace be upon him, took particular care of him and personally assumed responsibility for all his needs, standing as guarantor, so to speak, for everything he required. On one occasion, Hazrat Nana Jan, the late Hazrat Mir Nasir Nawab Sahib, became very displeased with Sheikh Sahib, deeply displeased. He drew up a list of his debts, which included amounts owed to sweet sellers, unaware that these had already been settled. The matter was brought to the Promised Sahib, peace be upon him, that Sheikh Sahib had run up such debts with the confectioners in order to keep the community kitchen running. On hearing this, the Promised Sahib, peace be upon him, smiled and said, I am well aware of this, and that debt has been cleared. Mir Sahib, please do not worry. Whatever debt there is, it is settled every week without fail. The Promised Sahib, peace be upon him, would clear Sheikh Sahib's expenses on a weekly basis or whenever required, and Sheikh Sahib would bring these matters to him with complete ease and familiarity, the way a son might approach his father, or indeed with even greater ease than that, simply saying such and such an amount has been spent, and the Promised Sahib, peace be upon him, would settle it at once. This was the kind of majestic and fatherly generosity that was his way. The expenses would certainly have included both personal costs and those of the community kitchen. Hazrat Shaykh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani, may Allah be pleased with him, writes, Hazrat Sayyid Fazal Shah Sahib was among the most devoted servants of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Shah Sahib was the elder brother of the respected Sayyid Nasir Shah Sahib. He had a deep love for the Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him, and eventually migrated to Qadian, where he lived in Darul Du'afa. The incident in question dates to July 1900, when he was in Qadian. On the 6th of July 1900, he sought permission from the Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him to depart, and also requested that he write a few words of counsel. He further asked for some medicine and a shirt. At the time, the Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him was suffering from a severe attack of vertigo and had been unable to attend the prayer. Yet despite the intense pain in his head, he wrote a letter of counsel in reply to Shah Sahib's note and gave him both the medicine and the shirt. This incident stands as testimony to the fact that even in the most acute states of illness, he remained ready to fulfill the legitimate requests of his servants and thought nothing of his own discomfort when it came to the benefit and well-being of others. As the Shaykh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani, may Allah be pleased with him, writes, from the Prophet Sahib's way of conduct, it is also evident that he would at times participate generously in the joys and celebrations of his friends, and this was a reflection of his love, his open-heartedness, and his liberality. The letters he wrote from time to time to Hazrat Munshi Abdullah Sahib Sanori, as well as Munshi Sahib's own account, bear witness to this. On one occasion, at Munshi Sahib's Ulima, his marriage dinner, and on another, at the Akikah of his son, the Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, contributed from his own pocket, and in doing so, he felt genuine joy and delight. There were times when people would send a sum of money for such occasions, writing to request that a gathering be hosted at Qadian on their behalf, not realizing in the moment of writing that a gathering at Qadian was never a small affair. The Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, was always surrounded by a great many people, and the sum sent was invariably too little to cover the costs. Yet he never wrote back about the shortfall. Instead, he would quietly add from his own means to make up the difference and fulfill his friend's wish. Such situations arose time and again, yet he never mentioned it, not by hint nor by implication, and on every such occasion he would simply say, "This is a feast on behalf of such and such friend," without once letting on that he himself had contributed. There were occasions, however, when he would express it. He would tell those who were close to him that the money sent had fallen short and that he had made up the rest himself. In one letter to Hazrat Munshi Abdullah Sahib Sanori, written on the occasion of his wedding, the Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, wrote, "Congratulations on your marriage. On Friday, in accordance with your letter, a Walima feast was hosted in your name for the guests, for there were a great many of them, and Sirt Sahib, that is Abdurrahman Sahib Madrasi Sahib, and Shaykh Rahmatullah Sahib, and many other distinguished guests were present, numbering upwards of 80. You had sent 10 rupees, which was not sufficient. Thus, in honour of this happy occasion, I added 10 rupees from my own side and had a proper meal prepared for 20 rupees. Good food, palau, zarda, korma, and naan, and so on." He went on to write that the guests were thoroughly pleased, and having eaten, offered prayers and good wishes on his behalf. The guests were told only that it was a feast from him. He did not mention that he himself had contributed. In another letter to Hazrat Munshi Abdullah Sahib Sanori, written on the occasion of his son's Akikah, the Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, wrote, "Two rams were slaughtered. The meat was excellent. One large pot of meat palau was cooked and one pot of sweet zarda rice with saffron and other ingredients. Bread and meat were also prepared. There were close to 70 guests and all were well looked after. By your good intentions, both the palau and the zarda turned out beautifully. The total came to 24 rupees. Since I know you will not be in a position to send the full amount, if you wish to send half, that is 12 rupees, at some point, then you may." The Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, expressed great happiness over the celebration and conveyed warm congratulations. Hazrat Ahmed Noor Kabuli Sahib narrates, When I came to Qadian in 1902, the Prime Messiah, peace be upon him, accepted my pledge of allegiance at the time of the Maghrib prayer that very evening. Of his own accord, and without any request from me, he gave me land for a home and arranged my marriage, also without any prompting on my part. Without even being aware of it, he sent me off to my wedding reception along with a few companions. He also arranged for a sack of flour from his own community kitchen to be allocated for me on an ongoing basis and gave instructions to Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib saying, for as long as Ahmed Noor is alive, give him this flour at my expense. The cost of Ahmed Noor's flour is mine to bear. Mia Abdul Rahim Sahib relates, once I became gravely ill, to the extent that there was no hope of my survival, and I lay unconscious. At that time, while the Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him, was returning from a walk toward the village of Buttar, my paternal uncle, the late Mia Bakhsh Sahib, submitted in the chalk of Mori Gate, Your Holiness, please come and see Abdul Rahim, for he is critically ill. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, may Allah be pleased with him, as well as several other companions were accompanying the Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him. Out of sheer grace, His Holiness came to our humble abode, seeing me lying upon the charpoy. He gently shook my shoulder with his right hand and said, Why are you afraid? You will not die. At these words, I opened my eyes. His Holiness then looked towards the roof of the house and said, Abdul Rahim, you will not die from this illness. However, this old and dilapidated house is likely to be the cause of your death. The ceiling is in a very dangerous condition. When you recover, have it repaired. He then said to my mother, Come with me and collect some medicine. Give it to him and we shall also pray. God willing, he will recover. My mother accompanied His Holiness to his house, where he gave her three small packets of medicine wrapped in paper. I took the first dose that very morning at about 9 or 10 o'clock and the second in the evening. After taking these two doses, I was able to sit up on the charpoy. I took the third dose the following morning, and merely by taking these three doses, my illness completely disappeared. In any case, after 5 or 6 days, I had fully recovered, apart from slight weakness. About a week later, I presented myself before His Holiness. I was still weak, and so I was helped upstairs. When I came before His Holiness, he asked, Have you now recovered? I submitted by the prayers and medicines of His Holiness. I have not had any fever or illness whatsoever since that day. His Holiness then asked, What has become of the house? I submitted, I remained ill for a month or 6 weeks, and I do not have a single penny with me. How can I repair the house? How can I replace the roof? His Holiness replied, We shall have it repaired. He immediately summoned Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib and instructed him, When you order timber for the rooms of the madrasa, also arrange timber for the roof of Abdul Rahim's house and have it repaired. Whatever the cost may be, we shall pay it. Accordingly, Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib sent the mason, Rukaram, to inspect my house and estimate the amount of timber required. He returned and informed Maulvi Sahib that 10 beams would be needed. Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib then submitted to His Holiness that the timber would cost 30 rupees. His Holiness immediately gave him 30 rupees and my house was repaired. He further says, As for the additional expenses incurred on labor and other work, I do not know how much they amounted to. Those two were borne by the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him. While presenting a general summary of the blessed character of the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, in Sirat al-Tayyiba, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, writes, Our respected elder maternal uncle, Hazrat Dr. Mir Muhammad Ismail Sahib, at my request, once wrote an article concerning the moral qualities and virtues of the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him. In that article, he stated, The Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, was exceedingly compassionate and merciful. He was generous and hospitable. He was Ashja'un Nas, the bravest among men. At times of trial, when the hearts of others would sink in fear, he advanced like a fearless lion. Forgiveness, overlooking of the faults of others, generosity, humility, loyalty, simplicity, love of God Almighty, love for the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, respect for the elders of the faith, fulfillment of promises, gracious social conduct, dignity, honor, courage, steadfast resolve, cheerfulness, and a radiant countenance were among his outstanding moral qualities. He writes, I first saw the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, when I was a child of 2 years and he passed from my sight, that is, he passed away, when I was a young man of 27. Yet I swear by God that I have never seen anyone better than him. More noble in character, more righteous, more affectionate with the compassion of an elder, and more deeply immersed in the love of Allah and His Messenger, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He was a light that appeared upon the earth for the benefit of mankind, and a shower of mercy that descended upon this world after a prolonged drought of faith, bringing it once again to life and verdure. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, then adds his own testimony. This is also my own eyewitness testimony, exactly as Mir Sahib has described it. May Allah the Almighty enable us also to embody those lofty moral qualities for the establishment of which Allah the Almighty sent him in perfect obedience to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر